This podcast episode on business innovation is part of the QED Changemaker series on November 6th, 2020. I'm your host, Ryan Lim, Principal Consultant at QED Consulting. Today, we have on our podcast the Group Executive Director of the Methodist Welfare Services. She joined the organization after spending two decades holding senior management positions at international banks such as Standard Chartered, Citibank, and MUFG Bank. With a desire to serve in a socially impactful way, this inspiring leader serves as the chair of the Board Diversity and Advisory Committee at the Singapore Institute of Directors, and is also the president of the Singapore Council of Women's Organizations. Let's welcome Junie Fu to the QED Changemaker Series podcast. Hi, Junie. It's great to have you with us today.
Hi, Ryan. Great to be on the program. Thank you for inviting me.
Now, but before we begin, could you tell us a little bit about your role as Group Executive Director of Methodist Welfare Services?
I'm currently the Group Executive Director. And I think for this season, I'm probably like a change maker. To use the term change maker as in just trying to translate some of the things that we hope to do into action and really to do good better at MWS. I'm not sure if you know MWS. It's a fairly large charitable organization. It runs nursing homes, home for the destitute, girls' residences, senior activity centers. So really from cradle to grave, we are in the social services sector.
You're in the life business, would you call it that?
Yes, pro-life.
It's really great that you were able to join us at our latest QED Changemaker series about business innovation. So how was your experience at the session?
Oh, I enjoyed it very much. I want to thank you for inviting me. I appreciated that there were so many people from different industries that joined, especially in my room as well. They came from very, very varied industries and they were all willing to share on the topic and our scenario.
And so what was your scenario?
My scenario was Disease X.
Ah, wow.
Yeah, so Disease X, it made everybody talk about COVID, although we're supposed to talk about Disease X, but everybody started talking about COVID because it's still ongoing. And when they shared their experience, it was more what happened during COVID and what was done. There was a lot of exchange of ideas.
So is there any particular segment of the Changemaker series that you particularly enjoyed or had left a very deep impression on you?
I think especially this breakout sessions where we have a smaller group of people to exchange ideas. And I think the facilitation does make a difference. And we had a great facilitator. She was very good and she allowed everybody to speak and she was just able to connect the dots.
I'll let her know about that too. Now, with all that opinions and perspectives from fellow senior leaders there at the session, I'm sure you've heard a lot of them, right? So what were your key takeaways from their sharing?
A lot centered on innovation, technological innovation, and how suddenly overnight everything became digital, everything became contactless. And how fragile it is, because when you are faced with crucial moments, everybody just goes back to your basic human instincts of survival. And when people are just looking at survival, they also make very different decisions. When people are in financial distress, they usually make bad decisions that will exacerbate the situation.
Then what were the leaders' opinion about it? I mean, there's current understanding that we will make bad decisions under a lot of stress, right? And these are stressful environments.
Yes, yes. I guess everybody will have to look after themselves first, and hence, you know, we become a bit inward looking.
Just looking inward doesn't really help you transform or innovate.
Yes, that's right.
So maybe I'd like to hear from you personally, right? I'm sure you shared your views too. From a non-profit perspective about business innovation, I mean, what does it really mean to you? I mean, like you said, you are in the business of lives. So what's that supposed to mean to you then?
Maybe I could share what we did, but it was already pre-COVID that we were putting this in place. So hence the whole change maker thing. At MWS, there's also lots of change management and transformation that we hope to do. We are really a work in progress. We integrated our home care and our home hospice. So for those who do not know, a home care would provide care for seniors or people who are unable to care for themselves at their homes because maybe they can't afford a hospital bed or a nursing home. So we go and help them, and could be as simple as cleaning them up, showering for them, just reminding them when to take their medicine and things like that, so medication. And then our home hospice side would be for those who have end of life. So in the past, the nurses don't do similar things. So a nurse is trained for one thing, home care, and then another nurse is trained for palliative care. So if I'm a home palliative care nurse, I won't be able to do certain things.
I thought they were cross-trained. I'm so mistaken.
So we cross-trained them.
Ah, okay.
Cross-trained them and we integrated the services so that they are able to learn and to be more aware of the surroundings. And in fact, we also trained them on more the social aspects, because some of them come from dysfunctional homes. There are other presenting issues. So as they care for them, they find out a little bit more about their background. We also shared with maybe our social workers, medical social workers, so that we can help them on the social side as well.
So when you talk about this change and transformation and innovation, are you talking about the mindset innovation, the model innovation, or are you talking about technological innovation?
It's the whole human resource and obviously the mindset, because we have to tell our nurses and our staff there is more that you can do. So don't just stop there. You know, don't just remind the patient of the medication and then go off. You can do a bit more.
As a leader, I mean, what was your thinking process like when you try to encourage everyone to go through this change? I mean, we've heard enough that this whole pandemic has caused more people to accelerate that adoption and willingness to accept, right? It's an accelerator, a catalyst of some sort. And there was a lot of resistance to change. But now that it's become existential, as a leader, I mean, what's the thinking process like? And maybe what are ways that you've applied this in your organization?
I guess we needed to communicate a lot and to really encourage them to see things differently. And also at the end of the day, it's good for them because then they learn an extra skill. It's also a learning process for them. It is not easy. Not everybody is open to such change. There will be attrition. I feel that whenever we want to change things, when we want to move people out of their comfort level, some people can do it and some people can't.
Those people who can, is that the majority or the minority?
Right now, it's the majority. There will be a few who will leave. So attrition is something that we accept as a collateral damage.
I think with all organizations, there will be a percentage of people who will be resistant to change. Then maybe I can ask you this. Is there age bias when it comes to acceptance to change?
Yes and no. I think it depends on the personal attributes of the person. So a person can be younger, but resistant to change, or maybe does not have the skill set and the training to pivot. And so the person will sort of like fall off in that sense. But there are some more senior people who are really ready to embrace change. They may take a bit of time to come up the curve, but they do eventually. So I think sometimes it's the mental setup as well. The coping mechanisms also must be very strong.
So in other words, change is not a matter of age, not a matter of gender. It's a matter of the mental attitude at the end of the day, right?
Yes. So it's aptitude, attitude, both.
If that's the case, right? Most of the time, we find that nonprofits are not those with the huge amount of resources like a business enterprise or for-profit enterprise. They have a lot more resources and they are under a lot more pressure to change. So is the nonprofit part of it, I mean, being affected and impacted by the pandemic, is change becoming a struggle or is it something that also helps accelerate the movement of innovation from within?
Absolutely. I think it accelerated change, maybe in some of the sleepier social service agencies. And I think even for us, some of the older employees only worked with a desktop. So maybe the last 10, 15, 20 years, it's only desktop. And suddenly to work from home, they had a laptop. And so they had to get used to working off a laptop.
If that's the case, then is that a good thing? Is there more opportunities for the nonprofit sector to also maybe digitize and digitalize as well?
Absolutely. When I joined, I was saying that, hey, you know, do we need so many rooms? I said, hey, how about hot desking? And they were not comfortable with that. I say, if you have a laptop, you can hot desk. And so do we really need to have rooms individually for like senior managers or everybody be nimble? You know, go and check out your centers, come back corporate office and hot desk.
Could it be because in your industry, it's a very high touch industry?
Yes, it is. We still need a very tactile component, but that's with our beneficiaries.
I've got a question for you, right? Now that a lot of people that we've spoken to seems to say that there is always that fine balance between innovation and then conducting business as usual. And now with that social distancing seemingly here to stay for a much longer period, what's the balance like? Is it a lot more innovation, or is it a lot more on adaptation, or is it more on protection of the business as usual, the conventional way of doing things?
For us, because we deal with people, right? So when we go for innovation, no matter how much we innovate, it's still a high-touch, tactile sector. So we do have befriending, for example. So befriending is on tablets.
Oh, tablet befriending, okay. Could you tell us more about it?
So we have people in some of the homes, and we can't visit the homes because they are seniors. So we would call in to them, and we will have nurses and our staff at the other end, and we will talk to them because we are afraid that they would be isolated as well. Yeah, so we have a group of volunteers who would previously go out with them maybe on a Kentucky Fried Chicken trip. Now we cannot, right? So talk to them over the tablet or call. So at least there is a real person's voice. You see a person.
Now that it's completely contactless or somewhat gravitating towards that direction, the kind of digital equipment that you need, isn't that very costly for a non-profit?
Yes, so we worked with a few organizations that were very kind enough to give us laptops, or we had access to some of these, so we were able to get from AIC or from the Ministry of Health tablets to use for our residents. It is quite costly. A shout out there.
So please support the non-profit, right? They need you more than ever now.
Yes, we do.
So now, you mentioned that Methodist Welfare Services, or MWS, had already begun on that journey of transformation and innovation. For people who are just starting in this journey itself, is there any particular advice as to how to begin, or maybe even how to apply a business innovation into their own organizations?
I think the board support is very important. Quite blessed that the board supports me in what I hope to do. We also have our IT committee, you know, so we have our subcoms to oversee such changes. Yeah, and I joined 2 years ago. So even before I joined, I think there were rumblings. For me, I guess after I arrived, I just executed. So there's this volcano.
I think that's the challenge which most leaders would have felt in terms of asking them to change. And then even though for existential circumstances like this, change is still not something that is easily adopted. There's always the kind of resistance. It's just maybe lesser now, but we still see quite a bit of resistance happening.
It's made more difficult as well because you don't see people face to face enough. Change management is already difficult pre-COVID. So doing change management during COVID, where you don't see people, you just Zoom every time, it's not easy, and communication is not as good in some circumstances, that you cannot sit down and talk to people. For us as well, I do acknowledge that our communication hasn't been that good. So we're trying our best to have more, and it's two-way.
So how are you working around this? We can't meet up as much and enjoy the food or coffee to keep in touch and to maybe work out. I mean, it's easier to have a water cooler talk to solve some issues quickly.
Sometimes,
right?
Yes.
So yeah. From your personal experience, I mean, how are you guys working around that challenge?
We still are trying to talk to each other through phone calls, I suppose. And from time to time, we will sit down. Less than 5 people. 5 or less. And try and go through and discuss issues.
Now that you've already started your journey, and any particular watch-outs for our listeners out there, especially on this journey?
I think we should pace ourselves. I realise that there's a lot to be done, and so we need to pace ourselves. If not, we'll run out of steam. And then when you're right in the eye of the storm, you just see darkness. And then you may get really disappointed. And then you see that light, right? But the light is the train coming at you.
Oh, not the other light of passing out.
I think we have to work at a sustainable pace. People do burn out. I think that's quite important.
Are you seeing much of that happening recently?
Yes, our caseloads have increased. We started new services, so we do see a number of people that are feeling a little bit tired. Yeah, we are encouraging them to go on leave, but not everybody wants to go on leave. You know, we are encouraging people to go on leave. We have an employee assistance program. My HR director tells me we are the only agency that offers it. It's called EAP, Employee Assistance Program, where our employee can see a counselor for free, like 3 times, pro bono. The supervisor doesn't even have to know about it. So you can go, you can pay for counseling. You just need to let off some steam. We will be given the bill and that's it. So there's no stigma. So what we want to say is you can just go and see someone, talk through some issues, and we'll give you pastoral care.
So there you go. And then if any of our listeners actually would like to learn more about this program, you should reach out to Junie at Methodist Welfare Services for this. I mean, Junie, wanted to ask you one other very interesting thing, right? We've focused so much on all that, you know, talk shop and worried about business innovation. But besides that, what should leaders focus on?
What should leaders focus on? Sometimes I feel we should also look after ourselves, because self-care, if we don't care for ourselves, we cannot care for other people. And if you want to lead by example, if you want to have a corporate culture, right, of care, then we really have to be that role model. So we have to be the change, you know, that we want to see in people. So sometimes I will tell my staff, I think I'm burning out. I'm going to take 2 days off, you know, just so that they know that I'm also human. I just don't go at a blistering pace, although sometimes I feel I go at a blistering pace. And I also have weaknesses, and I share it with them. I tell them about my caregiving duties. My parents are not well. I have to care for them, so that they don't feel that they have to hide such things from me. If their parents are not well and they need to take their parents to the doctor's appointment, it's fine. You can go, because we all have caregiving duties, and you know, we are aging society as well. So we are the sandwiched class lah.
I really like your advice. I mean, it's okay to be human. And then sometimes as a leader, we think that, you know, we have to always show people that it's okay and we're hanging on and we can take the pressure kind of thing. But we don't give ourselves time and the opportunity to be human, to be a bit more vulnerable, I guess, right? Thank you, Junie, for being part of the 6th QED Changemaker Series. Really appreciate your time, experience and insights for the benefit of the industry and our listeners. We have all much to think about, and I think you've said it as well, right? We need all the help we can get, and especially the non-profit sector. We wish you all the best, and then you can find a lot more support, generous corporations to support your organization to do some good when we need it most. Thank you so much again. Most of all, thank you listeners for tuning in to our QED Changemaker Series podcast. For more information on QED's leadership development solutions, email us at info@qed.sg. That's info@qed.sg. Do remember to subscribe to our channel and be updated on our latest episodes. I'm your host, Ryan Lim, and I look forward to having you in our next episode.